Right, we're starting a new topic this week, and it's called What Does the Future Hold? So it's a well-known scripture that we all know forwards and backwards, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future, okay? Today I want to talk about the future. I want to talk about our individual futures, every single one of us. What lies ahead for you or for me? Now, millions of pounds are spent trying to predict the future. Fortune telling is a very lucrative business. We all just want to know, will it be okay? Will we have health, wealth, and happiness further down the road? People search their horoscopes and tarot cards and even tea leaves. But none of these things are from God. They are from the enemy. There are only two forces in the universe. One is good and one is evil. Those are the only two choices, okay, on this one. And yet people let evil control their lives. We probably all know someone who won't make a decision without reading their horoscope. And they base their life on that. If the horoscope says it's okay, they do it. And they believe what's going to happen by reading things like their horoscope. They live by the fortune teller's words and not by God's words. Now, I know most people in this room, but I don't know everybody, and I don't know everyone that may listen to this. So I want to just stop right now, and I just want to pray to break off any such thing, any fortune telling, tea leaves, tarot cards, anything that you've done in your life. And I want to break that off, because they're all the tip of the iceberg for the occult. So we're just going to close our eyes right now, and you know yourself if you've done anything like that or listened to anything like that. So just say this prayer if you have. Dear Father God, I just come to you right now in Jesus' name. And I want to say sorry for having sought the ideas from an evil source, for looking at horoscopes or tarot cards or tea leaves or any form of fortune telling and taking their advice. And in Jesus' name, I ask you to break these things off my life. And I break them off now in Jesus' name. Father, set me free from any stronghold that they might still have over me. In Jesus' name, amen. And it is as simple as that, to break free from these things, just to repent and say, God, I'm sorry, I don't want to listen to these things anymore, and I want to break them off. I heard of someone just recently, a young Christian, and they had said a prayer like that, and they said the difference from before the prayer and after the prayer was huge. They said they didn't realize what they were living in. They just thought, this is my life. This is how things are. But after they said that prayer to break off fortune telling and tarot cards and things like that, they said they just felt such a peace in their home that they've never felt before. And they said that they were able to actually read the Bible and understand it. And before, they hadn't. Every time they tried to read the Bible, they were just confused. So it is a stronghold. It is real, and it can be broken. So you can repeat a very similar prayer at home if you want to have more time to think about that. So here's a question I've got for us today. How do we feel when we think about our future? Now, there could be 100 different answers from everybody. Some people might be excited. Some people might be nervous or anxious or fearful, or they might even be dreading it. Now, as Christians, our answer should be a good one. It should be good, because it should be one that's filled with love and joy and peace, because that's what God wants to bring into our lives. Our future is meant to be good in God. And you might say, well, Sandra, how do you know that? Because His word tells me. You know, yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. It said in that very first scripture that God's plans are to prosper us and not to harm us. So if we're thinking that anything harmful could happen and we're worried about it and we're fearful of it, then those thoughts are not from God. They're from the other source. You know, they're from the enemy, because God's plan is a good one. It's for hope and a future. The enemy's plan is to harm us, and that is not from God. You know, there's an old saying, and it's this: I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. So we don't need to live in fear if we believe that God is holding our future. So are we trusting God 100% to hold our future in His hands? Or do we let fear come in thinking, oh, I'm not sure if it will turn out good or not? because fear or dread or anxiety, all of these things are not from God. Our past, if we think about our past, it can fill us with so much fear and dread that we never enter our future, because we're always thinking these things are going to be with me, they're going to follow me all the days of my life. This is what it says in Isaiah 43 and verse 18. It says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And some translations say rivers or streams in the desert. So this says, forget the things that lie behind. Don't dwell on the past. But we do. We do dwell on the past. We let it come into our thinking. And we do look back. You know, Lot's wife looked back and it killed her. She turned into a pillar of salt. She was so focused on her past, she never entered her future. You know, we need to live by the rules of the pantomime. Don't look behind you. You know, sometimes we just need to live by those rules. Don't look behind you. God's got something new and something better, and it's in the future. Folks, we can't drive around while looking in the rearview mirror, because we'd crash every time. If all you do is look in that rearview mirror, you're going to go into the first lamppost that comes in front of you. So here's my first revelation today. Every decision we make today affects tomorrow. Every decision. Allowing all those thoughts from the past to go round and round, and he said and she said, and it was last week or last year, or sometimes it was last decade, and we're still dwelling on it. We're still thinking about it. Something's wrong. We're looking in the rearview mirror and we're crashing every time, because the decisions we make today will affect our future. Every thought, every word, and every action that we have today affects our tomorrow. Unforgiveness today, bitterness, or fear today can render us immobile, just like Lot's wife. And like her, our future dies right here, right now, because we are stuck in the past. If this is my present, and that's my future, and that's my past, and I've got one foot in the past, maybe set in concrete, then I can't step forward into that future. I can't reach it. I can't reach the future, because half of me is still back in the past, and it's stuck there, and we need to be able to move on. That verse 18 says, I'm doing a new thing. God's got a new plan for us and a new future. And it goes on to say, now it springs up. Not in 10 years' time, but now it springs up. Our future starts right now. Not at New Year, not on Hogmanay, not on the New Year resolutions, not on our next birthday, but right now. So here's my next revelation. I want you to listen to this one. Don't go home with anything else. This is the one to pin on your fridge this week, okay? So go home with this one. Before I finish talking today, we will have entered our future. We will have entered our future before I stop talking today, because it's just gone 12 o'clock. I'll finish talking about half 12. 12:30, today's our future. No one knows what's going to happen at 12:30. We only know what's happening at 12 o'clock. There may be tea and coffee. There may not. There may be some nice sandwiches and chocolate cake up there. There may not. Our future starts right now. Before I finish talking today, we will all have entered our future. It is that close. Our tomorrow starts today. It starts right now. We don't need to wait any longer for our future to begin. There's no need to wait years for things to change. We can start changing things today. Verse 18 said, do you not perceive it? Don't you know? Can't you see it? Can't you just taste it? Can't you taste that it's going to be a good future with God? It says, we have to perceive it. I can share the revelation. I can share what I believe God's given me from his word. But every individual person needs to see it from themselves, needs to grasp it with both hands and say, I want that future, Sandra. Our future can start today, but we need to be able to see it and get excited about it, feel positive about it. It also says in that scripture that he's making a way. We don't have to do it on our own. God's making a way to give us a great future. Even if we're in a wilderness right now because someone or something has put us there. God can still make a way. This scripture specifically says, even if it's a wilderness, I'm the man for the job. I'm the God for the job. I can make a way even in your wilderness. Nothing is too hard for him. It is possible. What you're dreaming of is possible, but we might have to start by making a few changes today, right now. So here's my next revelation. We change our future by changing our present. You know, what exactly do I mean by that? Well, it means we need to change our present words, our present thoughts, and our present attitudes and actions. We need to change those right now. Start doing something about what we can change in the present. You know, I was at a meeting recently, and it was all Christian ladies around the table, and I don't want to judge anybody. But the waitress came out, and the order for one lady wasn't quite right. So she sent it back. The waitress came again, so she sent it back again. And it came about a third time, and she just kept sending it back. I just felt her attitude to the waitress wasn't great. And everyone else at the table was bending backwards, saying, "Oh, you're doing a great job, sweetheart. Thank you so much. That's lovely." This lady just was not happy with her order, you know. And so sometimes we need to change our attitude. I need to change my attitude at times. That wasn't my breakfast that was getting mixed up, but maybe my attitude wouldn't have been right if it had been. But I just remember sitting at the table feeling quite embarrassed by this lady's attitude to the waitress. So our attitudes and actions do matter. They might not affect our future immediately, but they were affecting the future of that young waitress. She wasn't having a good day, and we weren't being good witnesses. Start doing something about what we can change in the present. Don't repeat the same old thoughts. Start to have new ones. Kick out those old thoughts. I can remember a few years ago, I came to the realization that my mum and dad had both died, and neither of them had said that they loved me. Now, that's a fact. I came to that realization. I just realized one day, do you know, they're both dead now, and neither of them said that they loved me. But I began to dwell on that fact. And before I knew, this small molehill had become a mountain. And I was starting to feel that my mom and dad did not love me. And that went on for several months. And then all of a sudden, God broke it. And it's like the clouds moved away. And I thought, do you know what? I'm believing a lie here. Just because they couldn't say it, just because they didn't say it, didn't mean they didn't show it, didn't mean that they didn't love me. And then I started to think of all the things that they'd done to show me that they loved me, all of the different times and all of the sacrifices that they'd made just to bring me up properly, and the rest of the children as well. And I thought, you know what? I've been believing a lie. I've been believing something that's just not true about my life, about my past, and I didn't want to take it into my future anymore. Repeating God's thoughts transforms our present, and eventually that will transform our future. So if you're believing any negative words that someone maybe has said, do you want to take them into your future or not? Do you want to throw them away? We wouldn't carry smelly fish around with us. Just throw them away. Don't take these negative words into our future, even if they are true. The enemy wants to make a mountain out of a molehill. Make them back into the size of a molehill and toss them to the curb and just say, I'm not having them any longer. If what's in our mind is harmful, then it will harm our future, and it's not from God. Remember, God's plans are to prosper us and not to harm us. Look at Romans 12, verse 2, just a small part of it. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Amplified Bible says, be changed by its new attitude. If we need a change in our future, it starts with a change in our mind. A new future starts with a new attitude right now. It starts with new thoughts now. You know, there's an old saying, two men look through prison bars, one saw mud, the other stars. Because one's looking down at everything that was right in front of him, and the other was looking up at what could be in God. So which are we? What's our future? Is it a starry one, or is it a muddy one? Mud or stars? If it's mud, it's not from God. Because God doesn't throw mud, just the enemy that does that. And either someone else threw the mud at us, or we're doing a good job of mudslinging at ourselves, telling ourselves that our life's not good enough, telling ourselves that we're not good enough. Don't speak negatively about yourself. And I've said this before, but it's just so true. If you all you're doing is speaking negatively about yourself, you're loading the gun for the enemy to fire. Why would we do that? That would be stupidity. If there's an enemy walked in right now, we wouldn't put the bullets in the gun for him to fire. You know, we'd tackle him to the ground, beat the life out of him and kick him out the door. And that's what we need to do when the enemy comes and attacks us. Talking mud means our future will be muddy. As simple as that. A little story about Daniel in the Old Testament. Just going to give you a little background first before we look at a few verses. And Daniel could have been forgiven for thinking there was some mud in his future. So King Darius had made Daniel one of the three presidents in charge of the whole country, and they planned to put Daniel over the whole realm, even above the other two presidents. And of course, that made them and the other governors just a tad jealous. So they wanted to accuse Daniel of something, and try as they might, the only thing that they could accuse him of was praying. A bit pathetic, I know, but they accused him of praying. So a future is predicted for Daniel, but it's not a good one. The future involves lions and death. So not his best hair day, okay? So Daniel 6 and verse 16, we'll pick up the first part of the story. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. And the king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles. So Daniel's situation might not be changed. Okay, so here's Daniel's situation. He's in the den with the lions, and it says his situation couldn't be changed. It was sealed by royalty. It was almost literally set in stone, because a stone had been rolled over the top, and there was no way out. But Daniel was trusting God. He was trusting God to change the future that had been handed out to him. I don't know what future's been handed out to you. I don't know if you feel it's been set in stone, but God can still change it. Sometimes our future does seem set and sealed, but my God is still able to bring change. The next part of the story is from verse 18. The king returned to the palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. And when he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" And Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions, and they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty." The king loved Daniel. He respected Daniel. He wanted Daniel to be his president. And he was so worried about Daniel, he couldn't sleep and he couldn't eat. So Psalm 121 verse 4 says this, "He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." Our king, our God, your God loves you so much and cares for you so much and has so much concern for every detail of our lives that he neither slumbers nor sleeps. He can't eat and he can't drink for worrying about us, for looking after us, for taking care of us, for planning a good future for us and saying, "Sandra, will you just take one step into it? Will you change that attitude? Will you forget those negative words that someone said? Because they're not true. Because I adore you. You're my daughter." Will we take one foot out of the past so we can put both our feet into our future and stop remembering what lies behind, forgetting what lies behind. Our king watches over us 24/7. He never sleeps. He sees every detail of our lives. He watches every breath we take. Every breath we take. Every single one. I've been there when someone has taken their first breath. And I've been there when someone has taken their last breath. In fact, just a few weeks ago, I was in the room when someone took their last breath. Their last breath. And I'll tell you, there was a few people in the room, but God was in that room. And he was watching. And I saw angels on all four corners of that bed. And we watched that last breath. And we watched it for hours until the last breath came. Our God is watching. When you love someone, you are watching. You are watching their breath. You know, when your children are struggling to breathe, you watch their breath. You watch them breathe. You're there for the chest infection. You're there for the asthma attack. You're watching them breathe. Our Father adores us. The future he has planned for us is a good one, and he watches us from our first breath to our last. So here's my revelation. God knows every breath you take because he's watching you breathe. Every day of your life's important to him. It doesn't matter what someone else thinks about it. It doesn't matter if someone doesn't want you in their life anymore. God does. God wants you in his life. God was watching Daniel's future, and he rescued Daniel from the lions. If our future has been devoured by lions or anything other force has come to destroy us and devour us, God can still rescue us. We're going to pick up the story. We're still in Daniel chapter 6, verse 23 says this. The king was overjoyed, and he gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. That's not a single wound. That's amazing. I can't even pick up a kitten without being scratched to bits. He spent the night with a bunch of lions and there was not a single wound on him. Why? He trusted in God. So keep trusting. Keep believing in a future with no wounds. With no wounds. We've all been wounded in the past. We could all bring heartbreaking stories of how we've been wounded. But the future that God has for you contains no wounds. And so you need to let go of what someone else has said or done. We need to leave it in the past. And we need to push forward into the new things. Because God will not leave us in the den. He won't leave us there waiting for the enemy to devour us. He's got a plan to rescue us. He's got a better plan than the enemy. In fact, God's got a plan for the enemy. Look at verse 24. And at the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. That was a plan for the enemy. They didn't even hit the deck. The lions must have jumped up and just swallowed them on their way down. You know? They didn't get a chance to even hit the bottom of the cave. And God can overpower and crush any enemy that has come against us. He can give us the victory in our circumstances and anything that we face. God is on our side and we are going to win the victory. We can come through with something better than we've had in the past. Psalm 60 and verse 12 says, through God, not through our own strength, but through God, we will do valiantly, for it is he who shall tread down our enemies. It may look in the first instance that the enemy has won. It may look like they've been victorious over your situation, but God can come through for any of us. Neil and I had an old friend, a great man of God, and at one point in his life, he went through a divorce and he lost everything. He lost his children. He lost it. He lost every penny that he had. He lost everything. But by the time he came towards the end of his life, God had restored. They had so much money. His accountant phoned him up and said, you've got too much money. You need to spend some of it. So they built a house. You need to do this. You need to do that. God restored everything and he restored all his children to him as well. Because the minute every one of them was old enough, they left where they were staying and went back to their dad. God is able to restore things. He's already victorious over our enemy, and we need to believe it and we need to declare the victory. Verse 25, King Darius wrote to all the nations and peoples of every language and all the earth. I can go with that. He wrote to the entire earth. This was before Twitter or Facebook or email or texting. He wrote to all the nations and peoples of every language in all the earth. All the earth. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the earth, in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. This king was overwhelmed by the victory. He was gobsmacked. He was so overwhelmed, he wrote to the whole earth. He's not even a Jew. He's not a Christian. He's a non-Jew, a non-Christian, stating the awesomeness of our God, stating the amazing power. He said his kingdom won't be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He is the living God. He rescues and he saves. He does signs and wonders on the earth. This is what this king said about our God. God destroyed the enemy's plan and he gave Daniel a new plan. God gave Daniel hope and a future, and he wants to do the same for us. A future without wounds. Here's what happened to Daniel after trusting God for his future, and it's in verse 28 of chapter 6. It says, Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius. He prospered. He entered into the future God had for him, and it was a good future. If we trust God, we'll enter the future God has for us too, and it will be good. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up and do our final song of worship.